Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Every birthday, one of my rituals is to wake up early. So I woke up at 5 a.m. and did not sleep well last night. Just a few hours of sleep, I think. I go to a coffee shop and I write down in my notes. I reflect on the year and write down my revelations. And I think this is something that everyone should do. You know, the year goes by fast. And I think it's important to just take a beat and reflect. What have you learned about yourself, about life, about love? So here are my revelations at 51 years old. I can't even say that. I'm choking. Hey, this is why I don't live in Korea, because they count the 9 months you're in your mom's stomach. So I would be 52 in Korea. Fuck that. That's why I'm staying here in Los Angeles, even though the cost of living is ridiculous. All right, let's get through these. Okay, number one, I gotta stop making weird noises. And if you're listening to this on my podcast, I'm sorry about the grunts and the ums and all these weird noises. Sometimes they sound sexual, and I know it's very, very weird with me in your ear and uncomfortable, so I apologize. I'm finally okay with being a B-side. So let me explain. You know how on albums, Gen Z will have no idea what I'm talking about. But when we used to have records on the albums, there were sometimes it's called the B-side, right? It's the B-side of a single. So the single is the popular hit that makes the band hit the charts. The B-side is the song that they slip in that is kind of obscure, that is, might be the band's favorite song, but it isn't necessarily popular. And so these days, I'm okay being a B-side. I don't have to be a hit, if that makes sense. And I'm not just saying this because I think most of my 30s, especially growing up in Los Angeles and being a screenwriter, of course, I was all about trying to, you know, get to the top of the mountain. And there's two lizards in my driveway doing push-ups. I swear they're doing push-ups. I don't know what it means when lizards do this shit on the floor. I don't know if they're making eye contact with me, and they're, I wonder if it's a way of posturing. But there are two lizards in front of me doing push-ups. This is hilarious. The pattern of trying to climb to the top of the mountain, which has always been a negative thing for me, because it kept me in a very chasing state instead of an attracting state, which I talk about often. And today at 51, I'm definitely less chasing, and part of it is that I'm okay being a B-side. So the other revelation which goes with this is, I believe, and this helps me be okay with being a B-side instead of a hit, is that, hey, and real quick, I'm not like minimizing myself. I think the B-side is, I think that song is valuable because it's unique and rare and undiscovered, right? The body of work, or your body of work, whatever it is that you do, is greater than reach. And this is what helps me be okay with being a B-side, is I think about the almost 800 podcast episodes, my 6 books, 5,000 blog posts, you know, audiobooks, like the body of work And this is not all my sessions, right? This is just content, documentation, writing theories and all that. So my body of work, I finally feel like I have, you know, done some things, created some things. I have a pile of stuff. And especially today with social media, where there's so much weight on followers and reach and growing your audience, that I believe that your body of work is greater than any reach. And if you decide to look at it that way, then it's so much easier to be okay with being uniquely you with where you're at, you know, the acceptance of that, and being content with that, you know. Okay, next one. Movement and fitness was and is one of my greatest investments in self. You know, I started fitness at 35. I've always gone to the gym just to do, like, you know, curls and shit, but never really moved until 35. 35 is when I did my first squat ever in my life. And like a weighted squat, you know, because although I was on the football team, I didn't play. So that also means I didn't really work out with them. I was skateboarding. I was holding over trash cans, not doing squats. And so my revelation is at 51, although I have wrinkles, my eyes are going, and, you know, all the stuff that happens at 51, metabolism slowing down, lower testosterone, all that stuff. Because I started fitness at 35 and I've been so consistent with movement, I feel amazing. I mean, I'm not any weaker. I'm just as strong, if not stronger, than when I was 35. And I can move just as fast and just as long. So that's so valuable to me. And my revelation is that I'm so happy that I invested in myself in that way. And I think if it's something that you are thinking about, you should do it. You should commit. And it doesn't have to be a certain type of movement. It's whatever, you know, speaks to you, whatever you're into, whatever makes you feel alive, whatever is going to be sustainable for you. But that is probably one of the best investments you can make in yourself. Yeah. In your relationship with self. Okay. Next one. If you don't ask, you don't get. I ask for a lot of things, almost to the point where I get embarrassed. I've DM'd people that I barely know. When I say ask, I mean, the ask is not like begging for something. It's, hey, I have this project. Hey, do you want to work on me with this? I'm always wanting to collaborate. And, you know, I mean, listen, if you don't ask for things and you just wait and you tell yourself, okay, I'm just gonna, if it doesn't come, it's not meant to be, like that kind of stuff. I gotta be honest with you. I don't know how much you're gonna be able to build in this life. You have to ask. You have to, and also the action of asking is telling yourself that you deserve things. You know, that you have value, that you're bringing something to the table. And so, yeah, ask. And if we're not talking about business, then in relationships, ask your partner how you want to be loved and how you would like to be loved, how you would like to be touched, how you'd like to be supported, like. Ask for things, you know, it's okay. Okay, next one, friendships matter. Oh man, as I get older and I realize how we get into relationships, and especially if you have children, friendships end up taking a back seat. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't have friends. It just means that it's harder to get together with friends. There's effort, you know, you got to put shit on the calendar, but I'm telling you got to do it, because life can get lonely. And if you're in a relationship or if you're married, that relationship will take a lot of strain, right? If you have no friends and you're just dependent on this one person to be your everything, which is not fair, which is not realistic, and which is not healthy. So the friends that you have while you're single, you should continue to have when you get into a relationship. And I don't believe that your partner should prevent you from that. Now, there may be friends that your partner doesn't like, but your partner doesn't have to be friends with those people, right? Like, you shouldn't have to change your relationship with friends in any way, I think, because now you have a partner, especially if you've made those friends before you met your partner. I'm just saying that because there's a lot of people who cut friends off because their partner doesn't like them, or they are around and they give you a lot of friendship time and then they find love and then you never see them again, right? You know who I'm talking about, right? I don't approve of that. Next one, what you want will change as you change, so want loosely. I'm not saying to not go after things that you want. I'm saying want loosely, in that what we end up getting usually doesn't match with what we imagined, but we know we're there because we feel it, right? And I've said this so many times. A good example of this is just kind of like where I'm at today at 51, growing up in LA and the dream being a house in the Hollywood Hills. Today, I live in a little ranch style house in Altadena Hills, which, you know, I never thought I would be here. And here I am. Doesn't look like I imagined, but the feeling in my body, whether I'm ice plunging or lying on the hot pavement of my driveway, getting some vitamin D, or if I'm in the backyard, you know, swimming in the pool, like the feeling that I have in my body, the groundedness, the calm, the certainty, the feeling that, oh, this feels very meant, right? That is very prevalent. And I think that is telling that I got what I wanted, you know? Now, if I just go by the vision, then this is very different. Although, you know, like whether we're talking about the type of house, the location of the house, like it's not what I imagined, but this is why I say you got to want loosely, because even though it's not what I imagined, I'm very happy and content with where I landed in Los Angeles, if that makes sense. Okay. Next one. This is very important. Our activation, what most people resist, run, and react from, and where we're activated the most is usually in our intimate relationship, is the greatest portal to growth and healing. 51, I know this. I've been in many relationships. I've been married. I've had a lot of three-year relationships, and I'm telling you, because I started off by reacting, defending, and running away from my activation. And now I realize that what comes up in any relationship, friendships included, family members, whoever, that is rich soil for growth, but only if you investigate it, only if you explore, only if you process, right? Where is this coming from? And it's in that journey that we understand self better. It's in that journey we discover childhood wounds. It's in that journey that we are given the prescription, whether it's from a therapist or yourself, of what to do next so that you can grow and evolve. It's all there in the activation after you react. Hopefully you don't react, but after, you know, it subsides, after you shift, kind of work through the activation, then it's all there, information, growth, healing, the road to healing. All right, next one, social media is a mosh pit, in case you don't know. Decide where you want to stand. You know, I conceive a lot. This is just how I'm wired. I produce a lot of content. If you listen to me or follow me, you know this, because I'm all up in your feed constantly. I do 3 podcast episodes a week, right? So I'm always pushing out content, but I know a lot of people say you should, but I don't stand, or I don't dive into the comments much. That's the mosh pit. especially if I'm posting something that activates people and it's a little controversial. Of course, I do acknowledge, you know, the kindness and comments, but I don't go through every comment. I don't allow people's negativities or people's, you know, whatever opinions of me hijack me, you know? And I do that out of self-care. I do that. That's how I make this sustainable. I think if I allowed myself to go into the mosh pit of social media, I wouldn't last. I would end up canceling my account probably, you know? So know that it's a mosh pit. Decide where you want to stand. Okay, next one. This one's important. Peace is what leads to happiness. So ask yourself, what does peace look like for you? Now, we could talk about different areas of your life, right? So peace in friendships, peace in relationships, peace in your relationship with yourself, peace with business, peace, you know, all the areas, all the pie pieces of your life. I'm obsessed with peace. Before I was obsessed with building and accomplishing and getting somewhere. These days, I feel like that's secondary. I feel like having peace, a calmness, you know, money can't buy that. Success can't buy that. I think success actually makes your life less peaceful. So while you're building, find peace and build that foundation. So as you become more successful and you're being pulled into different directions, you have a solid foundation, right? So peace is huge for me these days. And whenever I don't feel peace, when I feel unsettled, I explore it and I ask myself what a second as I blow a kiss to my special partner. Look at this. And look at, she got me these balloons. I'm 15 today. I'm 15 today. Look at that. I reversed the order. Okay. For me, here's some examples of what peace means. It's the constant practice of standing with who I am, where I'm at in my life. I say standing with because there's something about this image of standing next to self that I really love, like stand by me. You know that song, Stand By Me? I'm talking to myself to stand by me. Acceptance of the people in my life, who they are, right? Not trying to change them. That's a lot of energy, wasted energy. Forgiveness, controlling my addictions and my distorted thinking. For me, it's a lot of future tripping that I struggle with. And finally, not tying my worth to things, not tying my worth to things outside of self. That gives me peace. Also, giving myself daily space for movement, creativity, pleasure, work, and studies. I like the word studies for, I think I like the word studies because I don't know, I was really bad at studying. So now it makes me feel all smart and shit, like academic. Like I have to attend to my studies. My studies for me is obviously journaling, blogging, writing, and taking in information via audio. So I don't read. I have dyslexia. I can't, reading is very difficult for me. So I take in things via audio. That is my studies, and we are supposed to exercise our brains. So those things bring me peace. Standing on my truth and story, right? Peace means radical acceptance. I don't know if you can have peace if you don't have an acceptance practice. Okay, I have three more. Closure is a bridge. It is having the ability to transition, walking after the expiration. And, you know, the expiration could be a relationship, but it could also be termination of a job. Anything in your life that expires, right? Any kind of chapter that is closed. The process of closure is a bridge, right? Closure is having the courage to get up every morning and start building a new life or a new chapter in your life. A non-negotiable to not allow what happened to prevent you from going wherever you were going before the thing ended. So whether that's a relationship or maybe you got fired. I've been fired many times. Or head in a new direction after realizing you were headed down a road that wasn't honest to you. Okay, next one, Revelations at 51. Whatever you're holding on to is probably not worth holding on to, because when you get to where you want to be, you won't be holding on to that anymore. Let me repeat that. I really believe this. Whatever you're holding on to, think about right now what you're holding on to in your life, right? It could be an emotion. It could be anger. It could be resentment. It could be blueprints. Whatever you're holding on to is probably not worth holding on to, because when you get to where you want to be, you won't be holding on to that anymore. So whatever you're holding on to is actually wasted energy. It's dead weight. Now, it's not easy to let go, I understand, but you have to make a decision to stop holding on. And what that looks like is going to be different for everyone, but I've held on to a lot of things, and I realized on the other side that I didn't need to hold on to those things. When I got to where I wanted to go, those things were released, right? That's how I knew that I am where I wanted to go. I'm not holding on to the things that I was holding on to before I got here. Does that make sense? Two more. Next one. Sometimes it takes 10 years to, I love this one. Okay. Sometimes it takes 10 years to get that 1 year that will change your life. Sometimes it takes 3 relationships to be in that one that will change your life. Sometimes it takes a dozen failures and rejections to get to that one success that will change your life. Basically, what I'm saying to you, my friends, is life is cumulative. I used to live in the trenches. I did not pull back, and I was not able to see life as an ebb and flow with a character arc and different chapters. If things weren't good in my life, then the sky was falling. I was angry and miserable. If things were good, so whatever that was happening outside of whatever that was happening in my life outside of self determined my happy, right? And so if you really take a step back and see life as cumulative, and I think, you know, as I'm getting older, I think part of this is just natural. You know, once you tip past 45 and you get to your 50s, you just kind of slow down, and the shit that bothered you doesn't have that kind of weight anymore. Doesn't have that kind of pull. You take things less seriously. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't take your work seriously, but you just let things kind of rub. Here's an example. Living in Los Angeles, grew up with lots of road rage, or actually not road rage, but lots of road rage around me. And then I would be, if someone cut me off, then I would try to chase the guy. If someone, you know, flipped me off, then I'm doing the same thing back. That kind of like retaliation, just you know, lots of, it's so funny how people in cars feel safe enough to put your life in danger. But if they weren't in their car, it's like they would be a different person. But in Los Angeles, when people are behind in their cars, they are fearless and reckless and dangerous at times. And so road rage is no joke here in LA. And growing up in LA, lots of conflict on the road and me not backing down. These days, and I'm sharing the story because this happened just a couple of days ago, two incidents on the freeway that would have led me before to chasing people down. I mean, like almost like if I was on my motorcycle, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, hairs away from, you know, smashing into me. And of course, being a father, you know, I'm protective, but I'm also not willing to chase people down. Right. So because it's my life, it's bigger than me, my ego. And so the time it takes for that to roll off my shoulders and to actually want to stay away from that person instead of challenge that person is where I'm at today, 51, if that makes sense, right? Life is cumulative. And the final one is also just as important as all the other ones on this list, and that is don't buy underwear from the internet. I bought a package of like 12 of these I wanted to look like a hot soccer player for my partner, because she said to me that she loves the body on a soccer player. And so I thought, oh, like the underwear that, like the bright underwear that are tight that soccer players wear, they came across my feed. You know, I don't know if Siri or the phone reads your thoughts, but maybe they do. Maybe it's not even your voice. Maybe they know what you think. And I was like, oh shit, this was meant. So I bought a bundle of them, and they don't fit. They're too tight. I feel like I have a muffin top. They ride up my ass. Horrible. And I was like, you know, I shouldn't buy underwear on the internet anymore. Just because they look good on someone else doesn't mean they're going to feel good on me. Anyway, okay, I'm now going to move on to my next ritual I do for my birthday, and that is get on my Harley and go for a nice ride. I'm probably going to hit Angeles Crest, blast a radio, and I just meditate on my machine, and enjoy hugging canyons here in Los Angeles. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for listening. And as always, thank you so much for giving me a sense of purpose. Be well.